celebrating America's 250th in Kansas. I'm Suzanne Perez, and welcome to The Range.
Support for The Range comes from Fidelity Bank and listeners like you.
Coming up, Kansas middle schoolers show what they know about government and city life.
Their commitment to a good citizenship in America, it makes America proud.
But first, tomorrow marks the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the birth of the United States. Across the country, communities are hosting block parties, historical exhibits, and other initiatives focused on America's birthday. Here in Kansas, the milestone has prompted local historians and others to reflect on our state's own dynamic history.
You say if you got into a time machine or something like that, went to July 1776, or 5 years before that, or 5 years after, or 500 years before, you would see something fairly different.
Adam Hodge is head of reference at the Kansas State Historical Society, where he specializes in the environmental and indigenous history of the American West. If you were to take that imaginary time machine back 250 years, he says, it would be a much different picture.
You strip away so many things that are fundamental to our world today that we look out a window and see, and they're just not here in 1776. Roads, these large buildings, power lines, cattle, wheat, honeybees are not here in 1776.
So what would you see?
More indigenous people. There are very few non-native people, maybe a few French fur traders, maybe a few of Spanish origins. There are certainly more bison, elk, lots of wolves.
Hodge says the land itself looked a lot different, too.
There were not large dams and reservoirs. Kansas now has over 120,000 artificial water bodies, from small farm ponds to large reservoirs. It was a land of streams in 1776.
Some tribes, like the Comanche and Kiowa, migrated here during certain seasons. Others were more permanent residents, including the Wichita, Kaw, and Pawnee.
The interesting thing is that, you know, the four resident tribes that we have today in Kansas were all later arrivals. They were not here in 1776. They were pushed here from areas further east.
As you travel through parts of Kansas today, you can get a sense for what the landscape might have looked like before the westward expansion of the 19th century.
I think the Flint Hills are one of the best places to do that. The thing is, even in a lot of those places, you know, the original vegetation, things like that are gone. We've had invasive species move in. I mean, I think there's areas where you can come closer to experiencing what things were like in 1776.
250 years ago, Kansas was mostly an untouched wilderness.
And it wasn't just a place waiting for something to happen. You got, you know, the founding fathers hammering out, you know, these important documents over 1,000 miles away. And, you know, the people, the animals, whatever, in Kansas in 1776, July 4th, it was just another day in life. They had no idea, you know, what awaited them, you know, decades down the road.
Hodge says America 250 is about more than just flags and fireworks.
It is an opportunity to look back and see everything that's happened over the last 250 years in Kansas and in other places and be like, okay, what has been positive? What can we do better?
There's more of my interview with Adam Hodge at KMUW.org. Middle schoolers from across Kansas traveled to Wichita last weekend for the state finals of the National Civics Bee. The competition has students show off their knowledge of government and make a pitch to improve their community. Meg Britton Mellish gives us a front row seat.
On a summer weekend full of festivals and World Cup parties, the auditorium at the Kansas Leadership Center is buzzing about something historic. All that chatter is coming from a group of young people who are excited to talk about government. We're at the Kansas State Finals for the National Civics Bee. This fall, for the first time, students from every state will travel to Washington, D.C. to compete on a national stage. The Civics Bee was created in part to address a national crisis. 4 years ago, a report by the Annenberg Public Policy Center found that less than half of U.S. adults could name all three branches of government. The B is an attempt to raise the bar for the next generation and create a better engaged and informed citizenry. Last year's state champ, Tanya Ramesh, says her time in Washington is proof positive of that goal.
I was surrounded by students from across the United States who chose service over apathy, progress over cynicism, and community above everything.
So, here's how it works. 6th, 7th, and 8th grade students write an essay pitching an idea for how to improve their community. Judges selected by their local chambers of commerce sort through the pitches and pick which students head to a regional competition. Success there leads to this room, where regional champions vie to represent the state.
What does absolute tyranny mean, as used in the Declaration of...
Competitors start by answering 20 multiple-choice questions to gauge their knowledge of the nation's founding documents and their authors, as well as the rights provided to citizens. When the scores settle, 5 students rise to the top. They have a couple minutes to sell judges on their idea.
Why gotta be so smart, man? Come on.
Emmeline Wolinski of Prairie Village says low voter turnout in her city needs a preemptive solution.
When so many voices are missing from the voting process, the crucial principle of consent of the governed is weakened.
Colin Burke of Salina South Middle School says providing hygiene products to his low-income classmates would be an easy way to lighten their load.
My goal is a school where every student feels confident and that the basic needs are met.
Judges awarded Burke the first place title, which comes with $1,000 cash and a ticket to Washington, D.C. for the final this fall. A win there means a $100,000 contribution to an education fund and a major confidence boost towards tackling the problems of the day. For Ernestine Crable, the prize came in witnessing the promise of the next generation. Crable is the president emeritus of the Kansas League of Women Voters and a former Wichita school board member.
Their commitment to a good citizenship in America, it makes America proud. And in this time in which there's such negative vibes floating around all over, this is such a wonderful thing to do. What a way to celebrate 250 years in America.
For The Range, I'm Meg Britton Mellish.
There's more of Meg's story on the Civics Bee at KMUW.org. Before we go, a few words on patriotism. Among the flags waving this holiday weekend will be one outside my parents' house. It's no special occasion flag either. My folks planted a heavy-duty metal pole into the ground, and my 94-year-old father still raises the flag every morning. Dad was born in Cuba and came to the United States in the 1950s. He joined the Army and became a drill sergeant. He drove an M60 tank. He served 2 tours in Vietnam, and battle injuries led to his early retirement from the military. He's an immigrant and a patriot. I'm a first-generation American, and I love this country, too, despite its many shortcomings. This July 4th, I'll call Dad to thank him again for his service. We won't talk about politics, but we will share barbecue recipes and other pursuits of happiness. And when I see all those flags, as always, I'll think of him. Thanks for joining us on The Range. Our producers are Beth Golay, Jonathan Huber, and Luann Stevens. Our digital producer is Hugo Fan, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. The executive producer of The Range is Fletcher Powell. I'm Suzanne Perez, and this is KMUW, NPR for Wichita.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.